A second chance. 11. In Krishna consciousness, or devotional service, there are 9 processes. Hearing about the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord, chanting about these, remembering these, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering him respectful worship, offering him prayers, becoming his servant, considering him one's friend, and surrendering everything to him. One who practices one or more of these processes of devotional service throughout his life is sure to remember Krishna at the time of death. That is the art of Krishna consciousness. We cannot abandon all activities and simply chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, we keep ourselves constantly engaged in practical devotional service, so that our mind is fixed upon Krishna. Then, at the time of death, we are sure to attain total liberation from material existence. One who is not practiced in devotional service cannot all of a sudden chant the holy name of Narayana at the time of death. He must have prior practice in order to chant effectively. Therefore, Caitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended, Gurtenaya Sadhara, one should chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is the best way of remembering Krishna in this age, and always remembering Krishna ensures our return home, back to Godhead. As the Lord promises in the Bhagavad Gita, 8.8, Abhyasa Yogayuktina, Satasananaya Gamina, Paramim Purusam Divayam, Yadi Parthanusintayan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, is sure to reach me. That Ajamila remembered Krishna was not accidental. He had chanted the name of Lord Narayana earlier in his life, but he forgot the Lord due to bad association. Nevertheless, the transcendental effect of his earlier practice was there at the time of his death, even though he was calling out the name of his youngest son, not intending to call for Krishna. Indiscriminate mercy, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 8.6. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajati anti kalevaram, tam tam evadi kantya, sadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers, when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. One who practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident. Even without such practice, however, if one somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord when he meets with an accident and dies, he will be saved from hellish life after death. For example, if a person falls from a high rooftop, but somehow or other cries out Hare Krishna, that cry will be heard by the Lord. Or, if in our sleep we dream that a tiger is coming to eat us, and we chant Hare Krishna in our sleep, the Lord hears that also. Although Ajamila indirectly chanted the holy name of Lord Narayana through the medium of the name of his youngest son, he at once remembered Lord Narayana. Therefore, in Vedic society, children are given God's names. It is not that the child becomes God. If we name a child Narayana, it is understood that he is Narayana Dasa, the servant of Lord Narayana. Similarly, We give our disciples spiritual names, such as Visnudasa, Vimanadasa, or Krishnadasa. The Ajamila remembered Lord Narayana by calling his son of the same name as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that the power of the sound vibration of the holy name is absolute. One attains freedom from all sinful reactions immediately upon recitation of the holy name, even if one does not understand the potency of the name. Whether one is chanting with devotion and reverence, or without any faith, more sinful reactions are vanquished than a sinful man can commit. Krishna's name has such unlimited potency. When Caitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra in Navadvipa, the people used to imitate the Lord and his associates. At that time the land was ruled by Mohammedans, and sometimes the people would go to one of the government officials and complain, "The Hindus are chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna," dancing wildly and thrashing their arms about. In this way they imitated the Sankirtana of Lord Caitanya. In Western countries the onlookers also imitate our chanting of Hare Krishna when we go out to chant on the street. Even by imitating, however, they become purified. The holy name is so powerful that, if someone derides us, saying, "Why are you chanting Hare Krishna? It is nonsense," he also gets spiritual benefit. The chanting of Krishna's holy name is like the sun rising in one's darkened heart. This universe is full of darkness, and only by Krishna's arrangement for sunshine do we see light. As soon as the sun sets, the world comes under the influence of darkness. Likewise, our heart is full of the darkness of ignorance, but there is light to dispel the darkness, and that light is Krishna consciousness. Due to impious activities we are in ignorance, but to those who constantly engage in the service of the Lord with love and affection, Krishna reveals himself in the heart. By Krishna's special mercy, the devotees are always kept in the light of Krishna consciousness. Krishna knows everyone's intention or motive, and his mercy is especially meant for those who are sincerely engaged in his service. Krishna is equal to everyone, and as such, his mercy is unlimited. However, he is very much inclined toward his devotees. If one is prepared to accept his mercy unlimitedly, then he is prepared to give it unlimitedly. On account of our envious nature, however, we are not prepared to take his mercy. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18.66, Krishna says, "Sarva dharman paritayajaya mam ekam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva bhavayo moksayasimi." Just give up all other so-called religions and surrender to me alone. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. He openly offers his protection, but we do not take it. Sunlight is also equally distributed throughout the universe, but if we close the door and do not come out to take advantage of it, that is our own fault. Sunlight and moonlight do not discriminate, illuminating the houses of Brahmanas while leaving candleless, dojitas, houses in darkness. No, the light is distributed indiscriminately. Similarly, The mercy of Krishna is equally available to everyone, but it is up to each individual to accept God's freely distributed mercy. Naturally, Krishna bestows more mercy upon his devotee, because the devotee has the capacity to accept that mercy through service. The process of receiving the causeless mercy of the Lord is to render more and more service. We should be very enthusiastic to render service to the Lord. That enthusiasm will come when we chant Hare Krishna with faith and determination. Someone may argue, "I can see how chanting the holy name with faith is purifying, but if a man has no faith, then how will the holy name act?" Here are some examples. If an innocent child touches fire, knowingly or unknowingly, it will burn him. Or, if we give medicine to a child, it acts, even though he does not know the potency of the medicine, or how it is acting. Poison also acts in this way. Similarly, the Hare Krishna mantra acts, even though we may not know how or why. Even ignorant lower creatures are benefited when we chant loudly. This is confirmed by Srila Haridasa Thakura. When one chants Hare Krishna loudly, every living entity, moving or non-moving, benefits. Caitanya Charitamrita, Antilila 3.69. The potency of the chanting of Hare Krishna is confirmed by the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement. In countries where the Hare Krishna movement is spreading, learned scholars and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. J. Stilson Judah, a learned scholar, has been very much attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs into pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of Krishna and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting it and becoming pure Vaishnavas. Thus they are becoming free from all sinful activities, such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. This is practical proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna mantra. One may or may not know the value of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one somehow or other chants it, he will immediately be purified, just as one who takes a potent medicine will feel its effects, regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly. Another analogy, fire will act, regardless of whether handled by an innocent child or by someone well aware of its power. If a field of dry grass is set afire, either by a man who knows the power of fire or by a child who does not, the grass will be burned to ashes. Similarly, a person may or may not know the power of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if he chants the holy name, he will become free from all sinful reactions. This is the correct conclusion of the Vishnu Dutas. Extended lease on life. The servants of Yamaraja are so powerful that generally they cannot be hindered anywhere. But this time they were baffled and disappointed in their attempt to take away a man they considered sinful. Therefore they immediately returned to Yamaraja and described to him everything that had happened. They thought that it was unnatural that a Jamila, who had seemed eligible to be brought before Yamaraja, had been released by the Visnu Dutas. Now Ajamila was fully Krishna conscious. By the divine association of the Visnu Dutas, who were highly elevated Vaisnavas, Ajamila came to his full consciousness. He had been arrested, but then he had been released, and now he was free from all fear. This is liberation. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness by the association of Vaisnavas, or devotees of the Lord, one becomes free from all fear. This position is eternal. Ajamila became fearless due to being reinstated in his constitutional position. At once he began to offer nice prayers to the Visnu Dutas, Vanchakalpatarabhyaskakrapasandhabhyaivaka. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees and oceans of mercy. This is the life of a devotee, he is always offering prayers to other devotees. First he offers respects to his spiritual master, next to his grand spiritual master, next to his great grand spiritual master, and then to all devotees of Lord Krishna. Vaisnavas are also Visnu Dutas, because they carry out the orders of Krishna. Lord Krishna is very eager for all the conditioned souls rotting in this material world to surrender to him, and be saved from material pangs in this life and punishment in hellish conditions after death. A Vaisnava therefore tries to bring conditioned souls to their senses. Those who are fortunate like Ajamila are saved by the Visnu Dutas, or Vaisnavas, and thus they return home, back to Godhead. Good examples of merciful Vaisnavas are the six Gosvamis. They scrutinizingly studied all kinds of scriptures to establish the principles of Krishna consciousness. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes many verses from different scriptures in support of the principles of Bhakti. Why did he and the other Goswamis go to so much trouble and research? It is very laborious to research the Vedic literature in search of authoritative statements, and then to assimilate them, in order to support the Vedic conclusions. But the six Gosvamis took up that laborious work out of compassion for humanity. Spreading Krishna consciousness, as the six Gosvamis did, is the best welfare work for all humanity. There seem to be many other welfare activities, but their benefit is only temporary. The great welfare work of spreading Krishna consciousness, undertaken by exalted personalities such as the six Gosvamis of Vrindavana, has real value for all men, because it is based upon substantial spiritual truth. The Vaisnavas are just like desire trees, Kalpavriksha, for they can fulfill all one's spiritual desires. And thus they are also oceans of mercy, Krapasindhu. Ajamila heard the conversation between the Yamadutas and the Visnu Dutas, and simply by hearing he was completely cleansed of all material contamination. Such is the purifying effect of hearing about Krishna. Anyone who regularly hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Caitanya Charitamrita, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or any other Vaisnava literature gets the same benefit as Ajamila, and becomes free of all material contamination. Ajamila was very grateful to the Visnudutis, and he immediately offered his respects by bowing down before them. Similarly, we have to make firm our relationships with the servants of Lord Vishnu. As Caitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Gopi Bhartapada Kamalaya Dasadasanudasa, one should consider oneself the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Without offering respects to the servant of Krishna, no one can approach Krishna. After Ajamila had offered his respects to the Visnudutis, he prepared to say something out of gratitude. But they immediately took their leave, because they preferred that he glorify the Supreme Lord instead. Since all his sinful reactions had been vanquished, Ajamila was now prepared to glorify the Lord. Indeed, one cannot glorify the Lord sincerely unless one is free from all sinful activities. This is confirmed by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7.28. Yesam tivyan tagatam papam, jananam punaya karmanam, tadvandamohanirmukta, bhajant mam dradavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives, and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the duality of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. The Visnudutis made Ajamila aware of devotional service, so that he might soon become fit to return home, back to Godhead. To increase his eagerness to glorify the Lord, they disappeared so that he would feel separation in their absence. In the mood of separation, glorification of the Lord is very intense. Chapter 17. The Moment of Truth. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after hearing the discourses between the Yamadutis and the Visnudutis, Ajamila could understand the religious principles that act under the three modes of material nature. These principles are mentioned in the three Vedas. He could also understand the transcendental religious principles, which are above the modes of material nature, and which concern the relationship between the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, Ajamila heard glorification of the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thus became a perfectly pure devotee. He could then remember his past sinful activities, which he greatly regretted having performed. Ajamila said, "Alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became! I fell down from my position as a duly qualified brahmana, and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Alas, all condemnation upon me! I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute, accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me. My father and mother were old, and had no one to look after them. Because I did not take care of them, they lived with great difficulty. Alas, like an abominable lower class man, I ungratefully left them in that condition. It is now clear that as a consequence of such activities, a sinful person like me must be thrown into hellish conditions meant for those who have broken religious principles, and must there suffer extreme miseries. Was this a dream I saw, or was it reality? I saw fearsome men with ropes in their hands coming to harass me, and dragged me away. Where have they gone? And where have those four liberated, and very beautiful persons gone who released me from arrest, and saved me from being dragged down to the hellish regions? I'm certainly most abominable and unfortunate to have merged into the ocean of sinful activities. But nevertheless, because of my previous spiritual activities, I could see those four exalted personalities who came to rescue me. Now I feel exceedingly happy, because of their visit. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Narayana, when I was just ready to die? Certainly it would not have been possible. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.24-33. Repentance. Having heard the conversation between the Yamadutas and the Visnudutas, Ajamila became firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. He began to lament, "How unfortunate I was to engage in so many sinful activities." This is the proper attitude for a Krishna conscious devotee. Whatever he may have done in the past, no matter how sinful, when he comes in contact with devotees and hears transcendental topics in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavata Katha, he becomes purified and laments his previous condition. Indeed, the symptom of his purification is that he laments, having behaved so sinfully. He repents and discontinues his past grievous conduct. Ajamila was now at the stage of devotional service in which one is freed from all material impediments and is completely satisfied. Having reached this platform, Ajamila began to lament for his past materialistic activities and glorify the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who takes to Krishna consciousness naturally endeavors to follow the rules of devotional service, and he regularly chants the Hare Krishna Mata mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A person should not suppose that, because he has taken to Krishna consciousness, he can continue his sinful activities and have their effects counteracted. We have repeatedly warned that this is the greatest offense against the holy name. Like Ajamila, one should repent, "How unfortunate I was to engage in so many sinful activities. But now, by the grace of Krishna, I have come to know that I was acting improperly." Thus Ajamila greatly repented, remembering all his sinful activities. He remembered that he had been trained by his father to be a first-class brahmana, that he had been educated in the science of the Vedas, and that he had married a beautiful and chaste wife, a girl who was innocent and highly qualified, having come from a respectable Brahmana family. Ajamila now lamented, "I rejected her and accepted a prostitute, an abominable drunkard." It is a Vedic regulation that men of the higher classes, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaisyas, Do not beget children in the wombs of lower class women. Therefore, the custom in Vedic society is to examine the horoscopes of a girl and boy being considered for marriage to see whether their combination is suitable. Vedic astrology reveals whether one has been born in the Brahmana class, the Kshatriya class, the Vaisya class, or the Sudra class, according to the three qualities of material nature. The horoscope must be examined, because a marriage between a boy of the Brahmana class and a girl of the Sudra class is incompatible. Married life would be miserable for both husband and wife. Of course, this is a material calculation according to the three modes of nature, yet it is important for the peace and prosperity of the family and society. But if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such considerations. A devotee is transcendental, and therefore in a marriage between devotees, the boy and girl form a very happy combination. Ajamila thought, because I failed to be self-controlled, I was degraded to an abominable life and all my brahminical qualifications were nullified. This is the mentality of one who is becoming a pure devotee. When one is elevated to the platform of devotional service by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, one first regrets his past sinful activities. This helps one advance in spiritual life. The Visnudutas had given Ajamila the chance to become a pure devotee, and the first duty of a devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. Not only should the devotee give up his past bad habits, but he must always regret his past sinful acts. This is the standard of pure devotion.